have a senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, part of Tops on CBS Sports Network. He previously worked for the Charlotte Observer and was a national NFL writer for Sports Illustrated, so extremely well-credentialed and pedigreed. Jonathan Jones is my guest. Jonathan, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you having me on again.
Good to have you back. Always good to talk to you. So I want to talk to you about Tampa Bay in a second, but first, what did the LA Rams, Jonathan, and in particular Jared Goff, show you in last night's win?
Well, that he can hold up under pressure, that Brian Flores has apparently laid out the blueprint on how to defeat the Rams and Sean McVay and Jared Goff, but only Brian Flores can execute it, right? Going back to that Super Bowl with the Patriots and, of course, the Dolphins a few weeks ago. But Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive coordinators this league has seen in the past decade, and his pressures couldn't confuse Jared Goff. In fact, he was thriving under pressure. And then I look at what Cooper Kupp did and Robert Woods against two very good corners that the Bucs have in Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy Bunting. And it was a really impressive win, I thought, for the Rams. Obviously, the defense stepping up as they have all season, and then taking control of that NFC West with, of course, a game with Seattle, two more still to play against Arizona. But in as good a shape as any team in the toughest division in football to win it.
I agree with you. A really nice win for the Rams, but where does that leave the Bucs? For instance, Jonathan, how do you explain the fact that at times their offense looks good and other times they can't get anything going at all?
Yeah, terribly inconsistent. And obviously, they just could not figure out primetime games this season, 1-3 in those primetime games. So they're probably hoping, since they're going to be in the wild card, that they can slide into that Saturday at 4:30 slot or Sunday afternoon rather than getting that late game. But, Tom Brady cannot find a receiver deep right now. And Bruce Arians talked to the media earlier today and said he's not missing them in practice. But so what does that mean? Well, are defenses confusing him? Is it pressure? I mean, it can't possibly be pressure to 43-year-old Tom Brady, the GOAT. But for whatever reason, he's not hitting these. And listen, if it were week one and week two coming off no off season, a little bit of training camp, these guys throwing at a private high school in the Tampa area and he not hitting those passes down the field, I'd say, you know what, give it some time. But here we are. He has Antonio Brown. They've been working together for weeks now. He's figured it out with Mike Evans, with Godwin, et cetera, et cetera. And they can't hit a pass 20 yards down the field the last 4 weeks. Well, that's an issue, and that lands right at the feet of Tom Brady.
We were talking to Jonathan Jones. All right, so really quickly to that point, do you trust them going forward? Do you have confidence that they will get right and everything will click? Or is that anything but a lock?
No, I don't trust the Bucs. And really, the NFC at the top of it, you have a bunch of really good teams, but no one that's really separating themselves like we're seeing in the AFC. The only team at the top of the NFC that I trust is the New Orleans Saints, based off, of course, what they have been able to do on both sides of the football.
All right, so what about the Saints? How do you think Sean Payton was feeling about the decision to go with Taysom Hill after that game?
Yeah, he's feeling real good about it, right? He couldn't wait to get on Twitter and fire some things off and basically let everybody know, hey, I told you so. And hey, I'm pretty good at my job as one of the best offensive play callers in modern NFL history. And listen, he knew something that the rest of us, through whatever, maybe it was groupthink, maybe it was just a whole bunch of good jokes, had decided Taysom Hill, he can't possibly be the guy. You got Jameis Winston right there on the sideline. There's not even a dozen people who have ever walked this earth who have thrown for 5,000 passing yards in a season. Jameis Winston is one of them, and he goes with Taysom Hill. And he was right. He was absolutely right. Will that game plan work week in and week out against top caliber teams? No, probably not. You're going to have to stretch the field a little bit more than Taysom did. He can't have the mistakes that he had in the second half, but it was enough. And again, because of what that defense did to a pretty good offense in the Atlanta Falcons, that's what puts the New Orleans Saints, along with, of course, holding the tiebreaker and essentially a three-game lead over the Bucs in the NFC South, that's what puts the Saints at the top of the NFC, in my opinion.
Jonathan Jones, my guest. So finish that thought, Jonathan. Like, is it sustainable? I mean, he looked great in that game. Is that a one-time thing, or can that be done on a weekly basis? And do you think that he's not only a starting quarterback in the NFL, but potentially a very good one?
Well, he'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I could maybe put him into the top 32 somewhere. Obviously, you'd probably rank him above P.J. Walker in Carolina, even though he did a great job, the former XFL player, whoever Jacksonville is going with on a week-to-week basis. But no, I still need to see a little bit more out of Taysom Hill. But again, I'm going to sit here and raise my hand and say, hat in hand, I did not know that this was going to happen. I picked the Falcons. Taysom Hill certainly showed me more than I thought he was capable of at this stage. I thought Sean Payton should have gone with Jameis. But can he win them games in January? No, they still absolutely need Drew Brees to get back to the Super Bowl.
Which is where I was going next. Jonathan Jones, my guest. What about Drew Brees? 11 fractured ribs, a collapsed lung. I don't know about you, Jonathan, but if that happens to me, I'm looking for a place to lie down and just die. But you know, Drew, man, Drew's coming back. You know how badly he wants that second Super Bowl ring. Is there any doubt in your mind that he will return at some point this season?
No, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind. But, you know, for everything that you just said, right, he wants that second Lombardi right off into the sunset. I mean, that's the point of all of this. And I think there's a pretty good argument to be made that if he could have won that second Lombardi at any point over the past 2 or 3 years, that we would already be talking about the next New Orleans Saints quarterback right now. But we're not. And he's obviously in search of that. And so I think that Sean Payton, GM Mickey Loomis, Drew Brees, they're all going to get together and understand, hey, listen, we'd love to have you back in, let's say, week 13, right? But they put him on IR for a reason, to just go ahead, let's not worry about it. It's 3 weeks. We're feeling good about it. Tampa just lost. We have the tiebreaker. And so, yeah, would they love to get that first round bye at that one seed? Absolutely. And they're going to have to really, you know, compete with your previous guest, Aaron Rodgers, for that, of course. But as long as New Orleans is in the dance, as long as they have a couple of home playoff games, Drew Brees gets as healthy as he possibly can for the start of January. They are absolutely a contender for Super Bowl 55.
Jonathan Jones breaking it down for us. And then, Jonathan, you've got Joe Burrow, and obviously that was so discouraging for him, for the team, for the entire league. From the moment he was hit on Sunday, it was pretty clear that he was done for the season. But then you come to find out that it's not just a torn ACL, it's a torn MCL. There are other structural issues with the knee as well. So what does that mean for his timeline for a return?
Yeah, so, you know, guys, today, if it's just the ACL, we're talking 6 or 7 months. Really, the longest is 8 months. Maybe you tack on another month or two to that if you have some other structural things with that. But the important point here is the timeline begins after surgery. And look back to Saquon Barkley, for example, who, you know, that happened at the beginning of the season. What was it, week 2 or 3? And it took him a month before he had surgery because of the swelling that was in the knee that had to go down. So I am looking to see when this surgery is going to take place, and then that's when you start the clock. And, of course, you need, one, a successful surgery, which we're all hoping for and expecting. Two, you need the rehab and recovery to go well. And then three, finally, this is the franchise quarterback. This is the guy that's supposed to take you to the promised land, that hopefully the Cincinnati Bengals won't have to worry about this position for 15 or 20 years. And so because of that, do you rush him into week one if he's maybe not ready, if he misses the start of training camp, if we're fortunate enough to have a normal offseason in training camp in 2021? Or do you do what the Eagles did with Carson Wentz a couple of years ago and say, all right, maybe week 3 or 4, we'll get you out there. But it's not about 2021 for the Bengals, especially in that AFC North, where, you know, they'd like to compete, but are they actually going to get in the playoffs next year? Probably not. They're still 2 years away, so I would not be rushing him in 21.
So, Jonathan, we're all just beaten down by COVID. There is COVID fatigue. It's a real thing. It seems like every time you and I talk, it comes up. But the fact of the matter is, you're pretty much the expert when it comes to COVID and the impact on schedules. The Ravens announced, for instance, that Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins tested positive. Now there are reports that there are more positive tests today. They've canceled practice. So what does that mean for Thursday's game against Pittsburgh?
So the NFL, really for the past month and a half or so, has really tried to figure out their plan as it relates to COVID and contact tracing, and that they want to be able to identify where it happened, with whom it happened, and who it potentially spread to. So you're seeing a lot of these guys, high-risk close contacts who are otherwise healthy, sitting out of games. And listen, people are upset about it, but that's the way it's been going. And that has kept the integrity of the regular season schedule. Now, of course, it's being tested with the Ravens on a short week as numbers are rising, as clearly multiple guys went out there on Sunday for the Ravens and played. Obviously, they didn't know that they were positive for COVID-19 or had yet to test positive, but, you know, what we know about the virus, they were clearly infected with COVID-19 at that point. That's what the NFL certainly wants to avoid. Very fortunately, it hasn't shown to be spreading to the opponent so far in the NFL, so that's great news. Now, you know, we can all kind of look at this and say, wow, the big primetime game on a holiday, it's the only game that's going on. Does the NFL necessarily want to move that? Would that be a black eye for the NFL? Would it cost a lot of money in a lot of places? All of those things we all know the answer to. So I think that we would need, unfortunately, a pretty big outbreak for this game to be moved. And right now, an NFL spokesman telling reporters the game is still on as scheduled for now. Obviously, in the next 24 hours, we'll learn more about that.
No doubt. Jonathan Jones, my guest. Hey, really quickly, one quick thought. The Panthers not only beat the Lions Sunday, Jonathan, they got the win despite the fact that Teddy Bridgewater was unavailable and they shut them out. I mean, how bad of a loss is that for Matt Patricia?
Yeah, you know, it was a great win for Matt Rhule, but it was a more embarrassing loss for the Lions. And Matt Patricia, who is about as much a lame duck head coach and dead man walking as you can find in the NFL this side of Adam Gase. So very, very bad loss for the Lions, who, you know, they were 3-3 not that long ago. The playoffs at their fingertips, and then they just completely flipped spots with, let's say, even the Minnesota Vikings, and now this season well on its way to being lost yet again.
Justin, what is it about Patriot assistants, aside from Brian Flores, why have they all had such a hard time when they become head coaches?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they try to take what they have learned the Patriot way and bring it on over. And, you know, Patricia, when in his first year, you know, the stories are legendary coming out of there of how he thought that being the tough guy and the hard-nosed head coach was going to work. And it backfired on him in pretty spectacular ways. And guys in the locker room just didn't respect Matt Patricia. And then, you know, and talking with sources up in Detroit, he really did try to learn from that. And this offseason, I was told that the team was together as well as they have been over the years, or at least during the Patricia years. And it was interesting that, of course, so much of it was conducted virtually, but there was a camaraderie that was built. And then, you know, the defense just doesn't gel at all with all those Patriot cast-offs and all those big signings. And there's a lot of pressure because you want to build for the future, but you also need to win now. And so maybe that's why you take a Jeff Okuda in the draft rather than, hey, a Justin Herbert or a Tua Tagovailoa there with a third overall pick. So it's a confluence of things, but Matt Patricia obviously started on a very bad note based off, you know, his own issues. And he has no one to blame but himself, and he's tried to correct it, but, you know, it's over with.
Senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, part of Tops on CBS Sports Network, which you should watch on Sundays. Jonathan Jones, my guest. Jonathan, great job. You covered a lot of ground for us. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Jonathan. Good job. He's a pro. That's why we keep bringing him back.